0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend of action and get set for European football this week. Celtic are in Rotterdam preparing for Feyenoord off the back of a routine home win against Dundee. Rangers have until Thursday to wait, but did get back to winning ways at a cost with a Danilo injury in the win at St Johnstone. There were big victories for the likes of St Mirren and Hearts, with the Nick Montgomery era getting off to a draw at Kilmarnock. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
It's football's equivalent of Christmas Eve, Gordon. The night before the Champions League starts. For Celtic, a year ago, it was the thrill of Real Madrid. This time, it's the Dutch champions Feyenoord, who have scored 17 goals in their last three games. It promises to be some spectacle in a decoy tomorrow night. And then, of course, Rangers without Danilo against Real Betis, and Aberdeen against an Eintracht Frankfurt side that only 18 months ago won a European trophy. It won't be long that we find out how we really gauge against Europe's elite.
Fairly routine, I would say, for the domestic football this weekend. Obviously, the Old Firm both getting wins, and then the third biggest team in the country, getting back to winning ways, which was absolutely fantastic, Roger. But I must say, as much as I'm passionate about Scottish football and I love it, very excited to see European football back again. So a couple of big fixtures this week.
Absolutely, especially when we are involved. 0141 951 1025. Come on down, let us know what you're thinking tonight. If you do want to look back on the weekend's performances, it's quite simple. What did you make of them? If there were any big talking points, any refereeing decisions, any controversies you want to go over, pick up that phone. For you Rangers fans, of course, it was a very interesting team selection. Lots of changes. Danilo then gets injured. Are you closer to knowing what that best starting 11 is? What did you take away from the win in Perth? For you Celtic fans, it's such a different challenge, isn't it? Home game against Dundee, then Feyenoord in the Champions League. We will cross live to Rotterdam. We will hear from Brendan Rodgers. We'll hear from our reporter Gabriel, who's out there as well. So you can do both at the same time. Look back on the win against Dundee. What stood out for you? And then how does it set you up? What are you looking for tomorrow night? Because these big games are coming thick and fast. So give us a call. Two of our local sides, if you like. It was billed to be a big one at the weekend. It was St Mirren that came out on top at Fir Park. So if you have any thoughts on that as well, and anything else out there at all, this is the place to share it. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now if you can, and that way we'll try and line them up and get them on very soon. To whet your appetite though, what was your result of the weekend, Roger Hanna?
I'm going to go for St Mirren. Motherwell were flying high. They were joint top with Celtic and into the game, and St Mirren have gone there, won the game 1-0, leapfrogged over Motherwell into second place, and it's a really good win for Stephen Robinson back at Fir Park.
My first chance for the season to give it to Hearts. So a big game, obviously. Both teams going into the weekend's fixture with not in the best of runs, shall we call it. So it was a massive 3 points, and I fairly comfortable one at that as well.
Okay. Goal of the weekend?
Goal of the weekend, same game, Fir Park. I think I have to give it to Scott Tansey. He doesn't get too many goals.
He's trying to wind me up. What's happening here?
No, not at all. Andy will tell you, if you play that 3-5-2 or 3-4-3 system, the width comes from your two wing-backs. And St Mirren have got two very good ones. They'll do well to hold on to Ryan Strain long term, I think. He got up the right, ball across, and that's Scott Tanzer. Was where Scott Tanzer should be, and decent finish.
Right, okay, grudgingly.
It was a couple for the same game. It was a toss up between Kyogo and O'Reilly, but I went for Matt O'Reilly, as it's more a team goal. You know, that's what I look for. So a couple of great passes of play. It's a lovely ball for Alistair Johnston, releases Kyogo. Doing what he does, putting in the last line of defence, lovely bit of movement, then they cut back to O'Reilly, put it in the back of the net. So that's my one for the weekend.
Okay, Howler, who was howling?
Howler of the weekend, you have to feel sorry for poor Will Dennis, the Kilmarnock goalkeeper. That shot from Lewis Miller off the post hits him in the back of the head, ends up in the back of the net, and then just a few minutes later he goes to kick a clearance and seems to have managed to break a toe while kicking it clear, and is now facing a spell on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's not ideal. Yours?
I'm going to drop down a division, and I'm going to go for, I feel very, a bit harsh saying David Munro, because I don't know if it was a combination of him or his fourth official, but the decision to send off Matthew Cudjoe for Dundee United, wow, I mean,
it's not great, is it?
Certainly looks like minimal contact, to say the least, and I think he's been conned a little bit by the Morton player.
And I'll tell you what, that must be bad if you're going to overlook the Morton goal.
Well, Decky Gallagher's a youth teammate of mine, so
incredible.
That's the reason I've stayed clear of that one, but I don't think it's a moment Decky will be proud of.
Right, okay then, main man, top performer.
Main man, you have to go with Kyogo. I was at the game for Super Scoreboard on Saturday. It was bizarre. He just ran off and ran up the tunnel, holding his shoulder. At that stage, you just didn't expect him to be back. He had his shoulder popped back in the dressing room. I'd imagine that would be an ouch moment, Gordon. And not only does he come back out, but he scores the crucial second goal. As Andy said, he teed up the third goal for Matt O'Reilly. He is crucial to Celtic. And Brendan Rodgers doesn't seem very happy with the situation over the shoulder, you know, over Kyogo's shoulder, I should say. He'll be a lot unhappier, if that's a word, Gordon, if anything ever happened to Kyogo, because he is integral to everything Celtic do.
Well, this is the difference between me and Roger, because Roger's kicking you when you're down. I was so close to giving my performance of the weekend to Motherwell.
See, you're allowed to do that just because they lost.
I've gave them, I think, more than one occasion this season,
yeah,
to be honest.
Enough.
But Stuart Kirtwell called it their best performance since he got the job in February, and from what I watched, some of the football they played was excellent. But delighted for my mate Liam Boyce. I noticed that Roger put him in his team of the week, yeah. And I thought his overall contribution to the game, I thought he was the best player on the pitch, and it's his first goal since his horrific knee injury. So absolutely delighted.
I always think that when guys are out that length of time, when they come back, there's always a moment when you think that's them officially back now. And I think Liam Boyce scoring that goal, you could almost see it, the relief in his celebrations when he scored. A long time out with that horrible cruciate injury, great to see him back scoring.
Okay, are you injured?
Yeah, it's a sort of ongoing issue that I've had for a while now. Nothing too serious, but hopefully back for this weekend.
I got a text from Andy Halliday at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon, and I thought, and I know he's out the picture at Hearts, but I didn't think he was far enough out that he's allowed to sit with his phone out, Roger Hannah, so I knew there must be some explanation. So there we are.
He's like Samson in reverse. Samson lost all his power when his hair was cut.
That's right.
As soon as Andy lets his grow, done.
I'm looking at, I love the fact it's live stream now as well, because it's looking fantastic now.
Yeah, you can just eye yourself up for the first show.
Can I just say to you, I was in the show last Tuesday with Mark Wilson. There was only one person last week on this show got compliments about their hair from Gordon Duncan's mother, and it wasn't you.
I think the less said about that, the better. She was impressed with Roger Hannah's haircut, apparently. I don't notice when Roger Hannah gets haircuts, no offence. But anyway, we'll move on. 01419511025. What are you thinking? Whether it is looking back on the weekend, let's do it. Preview Champions League football tomorrow, Celtic fans, let's do it. Anything else out there? 01419511025. Ian is a Rangers fan, and he's going to kick things off tonight. Ian, how are you?
Not so bad, thank you.
What's your point tonight?
Well, the papers talk about how this the unfortunate accident that befell Danilo. To me and my pals watching it, it was assault. When you launch yourself into that with a player whose feet are off the ground, whose head is down heading, and you contact, you're in there, you're going to take the player, ball and everything. And I've got a feeling that was deliberate. It was just the same as what's happening all over the park. A team gets 7 yellow cards. Matondo, he was only on the park and he was sent crashing. No, I'm sorry. To me, that was termed assault. You can see the picture in one of the, I think it was the Sunday Times yesterday, or one of them, where the St Johnson defender's head was. It was right in Danilo's face.
Just out of curiosity, though, Ian, right? Let's remind ourselves, though, of what factually happens here, in the sense that Liam Gordon ends up concussed and ends up, he has to go off. But why would he deliberately do that?
Deliberately concussed himself. I'm not saying that. But it provided the referee with a decision to make. And he didn't have to make any decision. Didn't have to book him or send him off. The mere fact he was taken off with a concussion-related incident, which I hope it recovers from, shows that it let the referee off the hook. And as far as I'm concerned, no matter, he went in deliberately trying to injure the player.
Wow. It's quite an accusation.
Listen, I don't know Liam Gordon at all. I didn't get the impression at all from the incident on Saturday. He was deliberately trying to fill Danilo. I think he knew it was a last-ditch challenge, if you like, to try and keep the ball out the net, which he failed to do. He was concussed. He went off with big Sam McClelland coming on. I don't think there was any element of assault in it. It's a genuine challenge with a lad. He didn't get the ball. He lost the goal. He had to go off with concussion. He lost the game. They're bottom of the league. I don't think we should kick a man when he's down.
It would be quite something if Liam Gordon did intend all that to pan out the way that it did. I know centre halves can be daft, but I mean, it doesn't strike you as being a good idea.
No, and listen, I don't know him personally as well, just like Roger said, but I've watched plenty of Liam Gordon and he's always been the type of defender that puts his head where it hurts to try and keep the ball at the back of the net, and I think there was no more than that. I certainly don't think there was any malicious intent. He clearly thinks it's a ball he can go and win, if not, you know, affect it in terms of maybe deflecting it wide or deflecting it over the bar, and it was just an unfortunate clash. And listen, it's hard for Danilo because he's obviously found a bit of a tough time trying to get up to full fitness, make his way into the team. He obviously got an opportunity, started the game really well with his goal, and now he's going to be missing a period of time.
And one of the things I think Ian would agree with, it's great courage by Danilo. Now, as Andy said, he's not had the greatest start to his Rangers career. I think for some it was a surprise he was in the starting lineup on Saturday, and he took the chance really well. You know, it's a ball flashed across by James Tavernier. It takes a bit of courage to stick your head in there because, you know, a lot of the time you will get whacked the way he got whacked. Maybe not to the extent that you get whacked, but he's shown courage. He's got the reward with a goal. It's put Rangers ahead. It's taken a bit of the heat off Michael Beale, and it's to be hoped that both Danilo and Liam Gordon are back soon.
How frustrating is that, Ian, on a football sense, that, you know, he does obviously take that chance quickly and then the game's over, and then, as Roger says, you'll be without Danilo for a while?
Could I ask one more other thing?
Yeah, on you go.
Yeah, see the boy Gordon McClelland, is he any relation to John McClelland who used to play for Rangers?
Well, Sam McClelland that came on.
He's Northern Irish.
He is Northern Irish. Yeah, he was a lad who sort of came through the ranks at Chelsea, I think, Ian. I honestly don't know if he's related to Big John.
I've been trying to Google, but I don't see. I mean, funny enough, it's the same spelling. Remember, yep. John McClelland, he played for Rangers.
Captain of Rangers, 40 years ago.
Someone in Roger Hanna's paper would have picked up on it if it was, so I'm going
to
assume.
Well, I was just about to say, Ian, if Roger Hanna doesn't know, I don't even think Sam McClelland knows, because Roger knows, he's the man that knows all.
You and I are wasting our time. Was that, you know, to use that phrase, kind of bittersweet, Andy, for Danilo and for Rangers, for a split second you think, oh, that's good, if you're Michael Beale, there's Danilo, fans have been wanting to see him, gets his goal, but you know, 30 seconds later you realise it comes at a cost and he's out for I don't know how long. But
yeah, well, listen, I liken it to what sort of Roger just mentioned about Liam Boyce a couple of minutes ago, that was almost the moment where you feel as if Danilo needed that sort of monkey off his back to get that big goal, his first start for a number of weeks now. And again, I actually mentioned it on the show last week, from what I've seen of Danilo, although he's not, you know, set the world alight, I like his attributes. You can see why he's a goal scorer. You see the pedigree that he's got and the goals that he scored at Feyenoord last year, because he's got good anticipation in the box. He's off the ball movements there, and you can see he's got composure when the ball comes into the box as well. And I think it was massive for him to go and get that goal, but obviously, you know, very, very bittersweet. And then needs to come off. That seems as if it's an injury that sort of, I like to what Callum McGregor suffered from last year, and I think he was out between 6 weeks to 2 months, come back with a mask, and it seems as if it's something that he had to then play on and wear for a while. So it does seem as if he's going to miss an extended period of time, which is obviously a blow to him and Rangers.
Hear from Michael Beale. He thinks Rangers had good energy against St Johnstone, but of course Danilo's injury, he felt, had an impact on momentum, and he's disappointed for the striker after that opening 15 minutes.
Yeah, I thought we started the game really well. We got control of the game. I thought we had good energy in the four forwards, and we scored a fantastic goal, a really good play from Sam and Tav. It wasn't the first time we got down the side of St Johnstone, but it's an excellent goal, great finish from Danny, and obviously in that moment with the injury to the two players, the game stopped for a long time. So obviously they lose one to concussion, and it looks like, well, I know he's fractured his cheekbone, Danny, so we'll have to see how long he's out for, but he's got a fracture on his face there and he's away, and hopefully will be operated on this evening. So it's a really disappointing moment for the team, that, because obviously, you know, with Danny's had a couple of bits going on, he's had this 2 weeks to get himself fit and goes and scores, and it was a real big moment for him to get the injury at the time. I thought after that the game got a bit stuffy because it lost momentum. Second half, I thought we created more good chances than we took, but I'm delighted with the goal because I thought that was an excellent goal as well. Great pass from Tom. And finally, Rabbi's been getting those type of chances quite frequently of late, and it was nice to see him take one because he deserves it.
It was an interesting team selection from Michael Beale at the weekend. What did you make of it?
Surprised in the inclusion of Ben Davies for two reasons. I think John Souter, for the most part this season, has performed really well. I think a couple of goals this season he's not shown his best moments in, but I think over the piece he's done really well. And also the fact that Ben Davies for a number of weeks seemed as if he was out the picture and potentially on his way out the door. But he's came in, I thought he performed really well. So maybe that's a bonus to Michael Beale and Rangers that, you know, they have got a player that's still committed to the club and can go make a positive contribution. Seeing Yilmaz in there when it was only, you know, a few days prior that he's been announced that he's not in the European squad, I think I was quite surprised at that. In terms of the inclusions up front in Lundstrom, I wasn't too surprised. I fully expected Danilo to come back in. In Lundstrom, I wasn't too surprised either, but certainly the two at the back I was quite surprised with.
Are we any closer, Roger? Because look, you should never overlook positives. Winning games of football is the priority. Rangers needed to win, according to most people, as in really needed it.
Yeah.
They went there and they did it. Are we closer to seeing real positives in the sense of, you know, who the best sort of attacking options are, or what that style is, or whatever the sort of criticism that we've heard on the phones in the last couple of weeks?
I think that horrible injury to Danilo sort of overshadowed the game, overshadowed the result, overshadowed the significance of the win for Michael Beale. Had Rangers just gone there and won 2-0 with that performance and Danilo wasn't injured, I would have been interested to hear the reaction from Rangers fans. I was at Celtic Park, I was listening to Super Scoreboard on Saturday, and the guys in the studio, Daz, Hugh, Mark, Andrew, they weren't talking as if it was a scintillating display by Rangers of, you know, great attacking endeavour. And there was a lot of spell early in the second half when St Johnson had a go that there was a couple of scary moments for Rangers there. So they're far from out of the woods yet. I think they'll probably get a free pass on Thursday. I don't think Europa League this season is really the priority for Michael Beale and his players. But after Betis, there's that 8-day spell. In fact, that 7-day spell, I think, Sunday to Saturday, where it's Motherwell at home. Not easy the way they're playing just now, as Andy said. Livingston at home in a League Cup quarter-final. A League Cup the Celtic are no longer in, Gordon. The Rangers are favourites to win. And then Aberdeen come to Ibrox. I think Motherwell, Livy, Aberdeen, anything short of three wins for Michael Beale, and he'll feel the scrutiny again from the fans.
In terms of the performance as a whole, I don't think it was electrifying. I don't think that, you know, Rangers fans are coming away saying it's one of the greatest performances they've seen. But I did see improvements there. In terms of the control of the game, I felt for the most part, I don't think St Johnson really put Rangers under much threat. I don't think it was too dissimilar to a couple of games, Livingston at home being one in Ross County, that when St Johnson then open up and go to two up front in the second half and try and chase after a goal, I thought that's when Rangers really took even more control, had more chances, looked more dangerous. But Michael Beale's mentioned the word wasteful on a number of occasions this year. I still feel that is a big issue at Rangers. I still think, no, there's a lot of control, a lot of good stuff, and then when they get to the final third, I just think either decision making or that moment of quality is letting them down.
There'll be no Danilo, there'll be no Cantwell on Thursday night. Who starts up front for Rangers?
I think a big one is, I think you'd like to see Kamar Roof start again, but three starts in a row, as his body, as his fitness wise, as he's capable of that. If he is, I think he's a certainty to start. And again, for me, I think a lot of people disagree with this with what I've heard, but I don't think Sima came on and was overly positive again. I do think there's moments where he looks really dangerous, but for me, he's not a striker. I think any sort of moment when he's playing with his back to goal, I think he can be a wee bit loose. He's not using his body correctly, but I do think he's a winger. I think he's better running into space, running behind. Does that suit him more in Europe, potentially? But listen, he's came under some criticism, Dessers, but I still think he's had a positive influence in games, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back in.
Right, agree or disagree with what you're hearing, pick up the phone. It's a great time for you Celtic fans. We've just been waiting patiently to make sure everything was all done and dusted in Rotterdam. Gabriel has been at the press conference. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. We'll hear from him setting the scene over in Rotterdam, so we want you to join in. How much are you looking forward to being back, hearing that Champions League music? How tough will the task be? How do you look back on Saturday as well? It's obviously an entirely different challenge. How does it set you up, either performance wise or personnel wise? Get all your thoughts in ahead of that game in Rotterdam tomorrow right now, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It's 0141 951 1025. So please do get in touch. With Rangers fans, we looked back on that performance at the weekend, sparked by the first caller. So what do you think? What's on your mind? And Celtic fans, now is the time for you to get in touch, because we're going to give a big focus to this game in Rotterdam tomorrow. How do you feel about it? Is there Champions League excitement? Is there a fear or trepidation about that step up in level? How do you look back on the performance at the weekend? How does it prepare you? Who should play? Who shouldn't play? All the usual pre-match questions. Get them into us right now, please. And we'll have a good old discussion with it. But in the meantime, just to give you the latest from there, let's go live to Rotterdam and speak to Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard's European coverage with Trustbeat Scotland. For life after debt, visit trustbeatscotland.net.
Gabriel, pleasure to have you. I have seen videos of your accommodation that you're staying in Rotterdam. It's the worst I've ever seen. So I think we'll skip right beyond that and just get to the football. What's happening over there?
Yeah, happy to skip past that, Gordon, but I've just spoken to the Celtic manager, Brendan Rodgers, here in the media room of De Kuip at the home of Feyenoord in Rotterdam. Just sitting on the steps outside at the moment. Brilliant stadium, and what a game it's going to be tomorrow night. Celtic's opening match in the Champions League. We'll be back here in 24 hours' time. Of course, it's Rodgers' first since he returned to the club, and he's experienced it all before here and had two more European campaigns down south with Leicester. Actually got to the semi-final of a competition, the Conference League, that final went all the way to the final in under Arne Slot. The Northern Irishman says he's very excited ahead of this campaign. He wants to improve on last year's showing. We all know the team earned many plaudits under Ange Postecoglou, but they did finish in last place in their group without a victory. But this time round, Rodgers believes his side can progress in Europe.
Well, I think success for us as a club is to, as I said, is to be in Europe after Christmas. I think that is what our aim is. You know, whatever competition that is in, as long as we're in Europe after Christmas, that is our aim. But like I said, anything is possible in the group. And like I said, we look to be competitive in all the games.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, that's gonna be the aim, and it, you know what that means. It means, you know, obviously finishing the top two if you can, but almost acknowledge how tough it can be, and if you can finish third place, that would be a success for Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, I think Celtic will accumulate the majority of their points in this group at Celtic Park. I think that's obvious. Anything Celtic can get on the road is going to be a bonus in this campaign. Atletico Madrid are not the fearsome opponents they were 5 years ago. Lazio will hold no great fears for Celtic, having won there the last time they were there. They're decent, but they're not completely impregnable. And Feyenoord, for me, their top seeds as Dutch champions, I actually think Feyenoord might be the most awkward of the three opponents, simply because of the form they're in, the goals they're scoring at the minute. I think this could be a really awkward win for Celtic tomorrow night. But it's not going to define the campaign. I think the three games in Glasgow will probably define Celtic's campaign.
What do you think, Celtic fans? And we'll get to Feyenoord in just a second. What about personnel-wise, Gabriel? What's the team news?
Yeah, Nat Phillips is the only major doubt from the weekend. Of course, he came off at half-time in that victory over Dundee. Rodgers said that he'd rolled his ankle, so I don't think we will see him tomorrow. It's likely to be Gustav Lagerbielke and Liam Scales at the start, at the centre of defence. Celtic fans would not have expected that at the start of the season. Of course, it's clearly not a full-strength side due to long-term injuries, but Rodgers thinks that they can still compete.
No, listen, we're not at peak Celtic, is what I would say. And we've got a long way to go before, you know, I think we'll be where I'm happy, where I want us to be. However, what the players have shown is that flexibility. It's about players as well. You bring players back into the the squad that are injured, then of course the football can look different because you maybe have more dynamism and more flexibility and more movement. But I think in terms of stylistically at this level, we want to play the game to our DNA, which is to be aggressive when we're attacking and to have that conviction when we attack. And that all comes from when you defend. You have to have that collective responsibility and that collective resilience. And if you have that in your defending, then you can look to show that in your attacking play.
Okay, keen to take some calls on this very soon, Celtic fans, so get them in if you can. Gabriel, let's put the opposition in focus. It is, as Roger says, top seed in the group, obviously. People were quick to point out that of all the top seeds, though, they obviously don't come as champion of England or Spain or Italy or Germany, so maybe slightly favourable, if that's the right word. But a team in really good form at the moment.
Yeah, totally not to be underestimated, Gordon. You talked about that form. They're flying at the moment. The last three results, 6-1, 5-1, 6-1. So, I mean, plenty of firepower going forward. What's interesting about them is that they've got a team full of less well-known players, not necessarily household European names that we would know, but they are brilliantly coached by Arne Slot. As I said, he guided them to the Eredivisie title last season, only the second time they've won it this millennium. Their experience recently in Europe progressing, something that Celtic haven't done. They were in the Europa League quarterfinals last year. The year before, as I said, they were in the Conference League final. And also, just, we were speaking about it in the press room there, sliding doors moment. Arne Slot was one of Tottenham's primary candidates to replace Antonio Conte in the summer. He turned them down. In came Ange Postecoglou, which meant Brendan Rodgers came back up to Glasgow. So that's just an interesting subplot as well. But I was speaking to Slot earlier, and he said that he admires Celtic's style of play.
First of all, because they play football which I like to see. And that's not only this season, that was already the previous seasons as well with their former coach. And I think Brendan Rodgers did a very good job at Leicester City. Reached the semi-final, I think, of the Europa League 1 or 2 years ago. With football, I think everybody enjoys to watch. And this season he does this with Celtic again as well. So there are players that stand out for me when it comes to the threat they have. And that is, of course, the two players up front, especially the striker and the left winger as well. They both have a lot of threatening deep runs. But I also like their midfield and the way they play and the style they play. So, but it's my belief that the players who have, all of them have individual skills, but they can grow because of the team. And you see that the team structure is very good. That's why the individuals perform like they do.
Thank you very much to Gabriel in Rotterdam. He'll keep you up to speed on social media as well, at Clyde SSB on Twitter, if you want to take a look at what's happening over there in a bit more detail. Want to get back to the phones just now. Let's bring in Brian, who's a Celtic fan, not too far from here in Clydebank. Brian, how do you feel about tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I think we're in with a good chance. I mean, I know Feyenoord have got a lot of money and stuff, but I still think we're in with a chance.
And that's kind of the way it should be, Andy. We'll find out if the optimism's accurate or misplaced. Feyenoord, the funny thing is, by Champions League standards, don't have the, like we said, we're not dealing with elite here. Mm-hmm. We're not dealing with Man City or Real Madrid. But at the same time, you just listen to the form that they're in. What do you think of the test that lies ahead?
Yeah, listen, I think it's they're obviously a big name in European football, but I do feel as pot one goes, I think it was you're probably your best option out that. But listen, it's going to be a tough test. 17 goals in 3 games, you've got to be a pretty, you know, good attacking side to do that. But you know, they have leaked goals, they've conceded in every game this season. I think the more importantly, Jimenez being their top goal scorer last season was sent off in the quarterfinal against Roma, so he's missing the game. And then the backup striker, Ueda, who's, you know, keeping out Kyogo for the Japanese side, so he must be a good player himself. He's also injured, so they've got some team selection issues there. In terms of Celtic, it'll be very interesting to see if Rio Hatate comes back in, because I think the rest of the team sort of picks itself, in my opinion. But it was really interesting to hear Brendan Rodgers talk about wanting to play with Celtic's DNA, because you know, when you see a team scored 17 goals in the last 3 games, it'd be quite easy to then regress and try and be a bit more stuffy and defensive and maybe hit them on the counter attack. But you know, it seems if we're in for a very attacking game for both teams, so it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
Hatate will play. Hatate has to play.
Yeah.
Again, yeah.
For me, he's got to play as well.
Without it, the only question mark for me is whether it's Phillips or Lagerby Elk. And if you go McGregor, Hatate, O'Reilly, which he will, Maeda, Kyogo, does David Turnbull get in ahead of Yang? Because I think he should. I know it's not quite the balance that Celtic would ordinarily have, but I think if it's Turnbull ahead of Yang, I think that's probably Celtic getting their best players, best available players, onto the pitch.
Brian, where does the confidence come from? Because obviously Feyenoord, top seeds in the group, it is away from home. Celtic are maybe a bit, I mean, Brendan Rodgers, they're saying we're not at peak Celtic yet. What makes you think it can be all right on the night tomorrow?
Pure faith in my teammate. Simple as that. I think they're good enough to go on. I mean, we're the champions of Scotland, remember? Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, we're champions, they're champions. Anything can happen. I think we'll get a good chance, and I hope they do really well. But I'm not too happy either at the same time.
About?
Flight prices.
All right. Did you try and go over, did you?
Sorry, I was going to go there the day, actually. And when I looked at the flight prices, I was astonished.
I mean, listen, we try our best to discuss various aspects of world football, Roger. I don't know what you two have to offer on flight prices. You get any advice?
Well, I actually do have something to offer, because I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier on whose young son has gone away.
Right.
And as you would, Gordon, you get dropped at Buchanan Street at 4:30 this morning,
get a bus to
Edinburgh, flew to Carcassonne in France, hung about, flew from Carcassonne to Brussels, hung about, get a train from Brussels to Amsterdam, and a train again from Amsterdam to Rotterdam for the game, and his flights cost him £106.
Brian, there you go. You should have left last Wednesday. You'd have got there, no bother.
Sounds like it, aye.
Honestly, I mean, I do, jokes aside, obviously sympathise with how expensive it can be to go and watch football games and so on, but I just wonder about the defence. Gabriel hits the nail on the head there. I don't think in the summer, if you'd said to Celtic fans it'll be Liam Scales and Lager Bielka going into an opening Champions League game, I'm not sure they would have been delighted. You know, Nat Phillips was sort of brought in to bolster a depleted area. It looks like he might be injured as well. Is that going to be an issue?
Well, listen, people thought it was going to be an issue going into the Old Firm game. They managed to keep a clean sheet, and of course we're talking about a completely different test. It's Champions League football. But no, Liam Scales, he's not your most fashionable name, but I think he's performed really well since he's came in. I think, again, at the weekend, you could see, you know, not only defensively was he very sound, he'd done well enough to put off Bakayoko for that sort of half chance in the second half, but I thought his distribution for the back was really good. Like we said, they're coming off certainly a different test tomorrow night, but no, Lager Bielka being the one for £4-5 million seems as if he's more nailed on to play, but I think right now, from what I've seen, Liam Scales has been the better performer of the two of them.
It wasn't the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would completely agree with it. I think he was at Ibrox as well, was he not? I think Aberdeen are missing him, let me tell you, their back three, and he's done well. You can only, if you get a chance, you can only take your chance, and he's done all he can to take his chance. I've seen Celtic at Celtic Park a couple of times this season, the 4-2 against Ross County, even the 3-0 against Dundee, they will give you a chance. It's just the way Celtic play. I can't see that changing tomorrow night. I think there'll be goals at both ends. I think it will be an entertaining game of football.
What do you think, Celtic fans? Do you share Brian's optimism, or is there a bit more of a fear in there for you? Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Let us know either way. 01419511025, and we'll get you on after I tell you about this. See, sometimes I can't flick through my little booklet quick enough to find the Make Me a Winner script. You get that, and then you pad, and then eventually I find it. So basically what you need to do is text yes to 61025. You think I'd know it off by heart. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com, and online entries cost £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It's over 18s only, and entries since Maria won on Friday the 8th of September have rolled over. There's quite a lot of rollover. So all the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call from us after 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, which is Tuesday the 19th, answer within 5 rings and say "Make me a winner" straight away. Don't say anything else to win £74,000. Text yes to 61025 for your chance to win.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are desperate for you to get in touch. They actually don't really like each other. They're not that bothered about speaking to each other. They'd rather speak to you. So pick up that phone if you can, And get in touch with the guys. Let them know what you're thinking. That's exactly what John, who is a Celtic fan, has done. Take it away, John.
Evening, Roger, Andy.
Hey, John.
No, I was just asking the producer there if Nat Phillips was in the European squad. I didn't know if he'd been signed in time. But tomorrow night, Roger, what do you think playing Nat Phillips, Lager, Bielka and Scales as a back three, and like the two, those like interchanging 3-5-2, 5-3-2, because obviously this is a good team we're playing tomorrow night, and they're scoring goals for fun tonight.
Listen, it is a good team, John. There's no doubt about it. Liam Scales excelled in a back three with Aberdeen in the second half of last season. I'm just not too sure. I think Brendan will probably stick with a back four, whether it's Lagerbielk or Phillips. I think Liam Scales will definitely start. I'm pretty sure, I mentioned it a minute ago, I think Hatate will be back in. The one tweak, I wonder, he tends to go with Kyogo and two wider players. I wonder, I'm not sure Yang did enough at the weekend. I'm not sure Lewis Palmer is ready yet to be thrown into a game of this significance. There's obviously no Abada. So I wonder if, you know, you might have four in midfield for once. McGregor, Hatate, O'Reilly and Turnbull, and Maeda gets closer to Kyogo.
Look, we do this a lot, John, because, you know, trying to find ways of basically doing better in the Champions League than our sides have done in recent seasons. But do you think it's likely that Celtic do that sort of out of nowhere, if you like, you know, having not really done it and sort of changed their ideas that much? I get why you would want it to be more secure, but do you think it's likely?
I don't know. I'd be saying not. It'd be more, but it's always a more a defensive situation, you know what I mean? But I just think maybe it would be better for them, though, as I say, more protection for the goalkeeper, etc. But as I know what Roger says, I think I said that to my mate yesterday, I think they'll go with a four in the midfield, maybe, you know what I mean? Turnbull's been playing alright, but obviously Hatate had a good game on Saturday, they come on. But as I say, I don't know whether it's viable for them to play if they're sort of haven't been done it, but I just thought for a bit more protection.
It's becoming the new, certain arguments that we'll never get away from in this show. It used to be like summer football or Celtic and Rangers going to England. They were like that. Now it's, should you change your approach for Europe? And on we go, Andy. And you see the logic, but you also, I'd imagine, the challenge there of, you know, like, you know, plucking a new formation out of nowhere, or, you know, going straight from Dundee on Saturday to Feyenoord on Tuesday. What will Celtic do? What should they do? Can you drastically do something different? We had it with Brendan Rodgers before. We had it with Ange Postecoglou. What's going to happen this time?
I think you can, but I don't think they will. And listen, 3-5-2 is a formation that Brendan Rodgers used in his first spell as Celtic manager. He used it at Leicester on occasions as well. I don't think he will going in tomorrow. You know, I'm reading between the lines here, but when he's talking about Celtic implementing their own DNA, that suggests to me there's not going to be too much of a change in terms of shape or style. You know, John talked about a bit more protection for the defence. I think the inclusion of Hatate alone does that. I think he's more defensively minded than David Turnbull. It will be interesting to see if David Turnbull does play that sort of front three role that Roger's talking about, but I don't see too much change. I think you do have to adapt, don't get me wrong, because I think, you know, sometimes you can be overly expansive in domestic football. We've seen it at Ross County, we've seen it at Pittodrie, and, you know, no disrespect for our teams in Scotland, but they're not going to punish you on too many occasions. I don't think that happens in European football. I think any mistake, any lapse in concentration will often be punished, so I think Celtic need to be guarded for that.
I take it, though, you know, more goes into it than play an extra defender and that'll solve it all.
Yeah, listen, there's, you know, how you press, you know, when to press, you know, your shape when the ball's out wide. I think there's, you know, so much that you need to fit into effectively 2 days of training before the game, because it will be an adaptation to how they play and defend against Dundee. But listen, I think the fact that Feyenoord seems as if they don't have a recognised striker going into the game might play into their game plan as well, because are they going to be playing with a midfielder up there that's more of a sort of false nine? Who knows? I think Brendan Rodgers and his staff will know more about that than I certainly will. But like I said, I think that there'll be adaptations within it. I think they'll realise they're not going to have as much control and possession as they do in domestic football, but I still expect them to have a game plan.
I know you're a student of the game, so I'm just asking you to guess a little bit here. I know you're interested in coaching and all that sort of stuff, so What are the possible tweaks, if you like, that Celtic can make that's close enough to what they do now then? If you're not expecting, you know, everything ripped up, what's the little things that they can do to tailor it to European competition?
Well, I think out of possession, especially. I think this season Celtic have pressed the more a 4-4-2, which is a change for last year. You see, they'll try and get after the back four on any occasion, and if there is a moment where they are played through, I still think they still try and get after the ball and still are pretty confident that they're going to get it back within three or four passes. I think they will try and get after Feyenoord, especially for goal kicks, but I do think if there is a break of lines and they do get played through, I don't expect them to then go chase the ball again. I think they'll retreat into a shape and then, you know, try and force it into certain areas and trigger for there. But I don't think there'll be too much change in terms of in possession, because I don't think they can. I think, you know, to be more direct with Kyogo, yeah, potentially Yang Maeda up front, I don't think it works. And I think in possession is the area where Celtic have been strong in Europe. I think even the games last year where, you know, they didn't get results, Real Madrid, Shakhtar, I thought in possession was never an issue. I just think, you know, tightening up defensively is an area they had to improve.
Right, let's thank John and bring in Ricky. Confident or not, Ricky?
No, same, we're going to get in win. But I think we can maybe get a result out of them. I think we could get a draw. Listen, we've played far, far better teams every years in the Champions League. We weren't going to get results against Man United, Barcelona. We got results. We've got results every years. Now, tomorrow night, we're not playing one of the top seeds for the German, Spanish or the English league. Who knows? Although, okay, they're scoring a lot of goals in the Arane League. How strong is the Arane League against, you know, what are going to come up against Celtic tomorrow night? Is there many teams in their league that are as good as Celtic are that have played this year? You know, so they've scored a lot of goals, which probably Celtic can do against some teams in our league. So I think we're kind of 50-50 there between the two years.
Roger?
Listen, it'll be interesting. The beauty of it is, because it's match day one, we don't really have a body of work to assess Feyenoord on. You know, we haven't seen Feyenoord playing Lazio or playing Atletico Madrid. So Celtic go into, to a certain degree, they go in blind. The Dutch league, listen, you've seen PSV Eindhoven put five past Rangers in the Netherlands in a Champions League playoff qualifier. So on their side, who didn't win the Dutch league, this Feyenoord are the Dutch champions. I know the point Andy's making about suspensions and injuries and the like. They'll be decent. They will be a decent team, particularly going forward. I think a bit like Celtic, that's where they are, you know, the real strengths lie going forward, and less so at the back. So listen, it wouldn't surprise me if it was one of these mad 3-2 games either way.
I mean, Brendan Rodgers got a lot of stick for Champions League performances in his first spell, Roger. We're up against like the cream of the crop at times.
I heard you make the point in the show on Friday night with Kenny and Hugh. You know, Brendan did change. There was that night in the new camp, yeah. He played five at the back. You know, he had Christian Gamboa playing and Lustig was playing, Tierney was tucked in, etc. Sometimes against a Barcelona or a PSG or a Bayern Munich in their pomp, you just need to put your hand up and say they're better than us. Although there's grace in it,
we look for the silver bullet, don't we? Because there's two ways of looking at that. You go, they played the back five in the new camp and conceded seven, so it doesn't work. Or you could say, maybe it would have been nine if they, do you know what I mean, well, if they hadn't played it that
way. They also done it at the Etihad at Man City and got a result.
Yeah.
So, listen, there's no blueprint that guarantees you any results.
I'll flip it the other way. Andy Halliday has gone to Celtic Park with various opposing teams, and they don't all sit in a Wednesday lunchtime to say, listen boys, this week we're going to play five at the back because it's Celtic away. Because sometimes the managers just think, our boys aren't used to playing a certain system. Why would I take them to Celtic Park to play a system that's alien to them? That's not going to help us. So maybe that's what Brendan Rodgers is thinking. You know, we play a back four every week. The guys are comfortable in it. They're used to it. They know their positions, out of the possession. They know where they should be in possession. Why would I put another layer of confusion into their heads on the eve of a big Champions League game? I just think it'll be a bag four.
Thank you, Ricky. It is that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are unbeaten so far this season. That might not surprise you. They're both very good at Beat the Pundit. There are a couple of other pundits, maybe a bit more surprisingly, who are unbeaten as well. And if you want to come and topple one of these two, you've got a couple of minutes. You need to get your call in before 7 o'clock, 0141 951 1025. And your chance to beat the pundit is next. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here, and they're looking for you to get in touch on 01419511025. So come on, if you've just joined us, no idea where you've been, but I hope it's a good excuse. We were looking back on the game at McDermott Park at the weekend. Rangers fans, what did you make of it? Who stood out for you? Was there anything to build on? It's been a bit of a negative period on the back of bad results. So did you see anything that you want to take forward that you think was good? Anything that still worries you that you're still not sure about? Obviously an injury to Danilo as well. You can get your thoughts in on that. We spent a long time on Celtic's trip to Rotterdam tomorrow, but plenty more where that came from, I suspect. Such a big game, seeing one of our teams back in the Champions League. So a bit of a disparity so far. I think some callers were confident for tomorrow, others a bit more concerned. So what are you thinking? 01419511025. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. A new week. It is 24-10 to the Pundits this season, apparently. Is that good? I don't know. That's worse not, than not bad, not, I would, not bad. I'm going to guess worse than previous seasons, though.
Worse for the Pundits?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mark Wilson's lost, he went and lost like three or four in a row. For a while there, there's been some bad performance. It's really bad. Anyway, tonight's contestant is James in Hamilton. How's it going, James?
Aye, not bad.
First time on this for you, James?
Aye.
Yeah, that tends to be the way it is. James, I mean, have you ever listened to the show before? Is there a reason that you thought you would call on the hardest night of the week?
I listen all the time. Just why do you go? See how going.
I love that. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Yeah. That's got to be the motto tonight, hasn't it? Remember, Roger Hanna does start on -1. Andy, not quite yet, although we'll think about it. Maybe the next international break, we'll have a consultation. Heads, it will be Andy, tails, it's Roger. Do you two usually sit in that order?
No, we don't. But Roger says
it's putting me off.
Gordon Dale's to blame for this, because Gordon Dale wanted to swap nights for me last week.
Uh-huh.
So I then get moved out here when Mark Wilson was in there, and I presume you get moved in there.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
When Gordon Dale was out here.
Oh, and it's chaos.
It's messed with us.
Go to respect your elders, though, didn't he? He says, I quite preferred it there last week. There you go. You can take it.
It's messing with my tossing technique. But anyway, heads it is. Andy Halliday, tails, it's Roger Hanna. It's heads.
Look at that. Always tails and they're moving its heads. It's a disgrace.
What does that mean? I'm confused. Is that Andy?
I'm confused as well. I think it's Andy.
Now, after the fuss that Mark Wilson made, and he was still going on about it in the show on Saturday, am I allowed to sit with my headphones on and listen to music?
You can do whatever you like.
Even though Andy's taking the question.
You can do whatever you like.
Good.
Honestly. Right, let's give Andy some greatest hits radio to listen to. Turn that up nice and loud, please. And we'll get James up and running. James, it's 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and just pass if you don't know the answer. That would be my advice to you, okay?
Yeah.
Top man, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which team are the only Scottish League 2 side with City in their name?
Edinburgh.
In what year did Scotland last qualify for the Euros via the qualification groups?
96.
Who's currently top of the Scottish Championship?
Falkirk.
A statue of Sir Alex Ferguson sits outside which Scottish ground?
Aberdeen.
True or false, Dundee United have a 100% winning record against Barcelona?
False.
Okay. Andy Halliday, bring him back. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. What's wrong, Roger Hanna? You look puzzled.
You're loving the music.
Enjoying the music.
What was it this week?
It was the original Never Can Say Goodbye, long before the Communards.
You should have heard that. Do you know what it was last week?
No.
I caught him, Andy Halliday, tapping his toe to just can't get enough.
He was
bopping away. Honestly,
certainly wasn't tapped my toe. That's for sure.
The question is asking your household.
The border patrol on Copeland Road didn't let him back in last week. Checked his credentials, kicked him out. Anyway, right, Andy Halliday, 30 seconds. Same set of questions to you, and your time starts now. Who's the only team in Scottish League 2 with City in their name?
Elgin.
In what year did Scotland last qualify for the Euros via the qualification groups?
96.
Who's currently top of the Scottish Championship?
Rovers.
A statue of Sir Alex Ferguson sits outside which Scottish ground?
Tottenham.
True or false, Dundee United have a 100% winning record against Barcelona?
True.
Billy Dodds has just left which club?
Inverness.
At what club did Tom Lawrence play before Rangers?
Derby.
How many times have Hibs won the Scottish Cup?
Two. I think it's three.
Alright, great. Thanks for that. James, how do you think it went?
Nah, not too great.
He's a tough nut to crack, I must say. I thought he did all right, James. Let's find out which team's the only League Two side with Edinburgh with City in their name. Sorry, you went Edinburgh, James. It is Elgin. I'm in Edinburgh. They're back to Edinburgh City, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
But they are in League One.
Pointless,
so.
Aren't they? Pointless, the only team in Scotland. Pointless in Edinburgh City.
Struggling. They are struggling. Anyway, so 1-0 Andy Halliday. You both knew that 96 was the last Euro qualification via the groups, because 2020 or 2021, as it turned out to be, was the playoffs. Yes. So it's 2-1 to Andy. Raith Rovers top of the Championship. 3-1 Andy. You both got Pittodrie for Sir Alex Ferguson. A nice gentle question. 4-2 to Andy. A 50-50, James. It is one of those. It's truer than fiction. I mean, 100% winning record for Dundee United eh, against Barcelona. Roger Hanna.
Everything's truer than fiction.
Aye, I know. I got that the wrong way round. I thought that.
Yeah, four games, four wins.
Incredible, isn't it?
Four games, four wins.
Yeah, yep. It's four. It's not like it's one.
Incredible.
Inverness, Cali Thistle, Billy Dodds. So, and James is out of time, but here Derby for Tom Lawrence. So you were right. It is three for Hibs. Scottish Cup wins, but you got it wrong. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. A 7-2 win for Andy Halliday. James, honestly, he's a man in form, isn't he?
Aye, brilliant, superb.
What are you thinking as a Rangers fan, though, generally, at the moment, James?
Positive. Staying positive. Definitely.
See some positive signs at the weekend?
Aye, definitely. Mm. Definitely.
Funny one, Roger. I think the weekend was like we said, you had. You can't just be negative all the time, and you go away from home, and sometimes we say it's just about getting the result, really. So I mean, Michael Beale takes that, doesn't he? He moves on. I wonder if there are still certain, or what certain areas he wants to really try and sort of understand what his best options are, maybe, because it feels like every week we're still debating, you know, is it Dessers or Danilo? And well, it can't be Danilo at the moment. And is Sima doing enough? And what is Matondo an impact player? And is Lammers offering enough yet? It feels like none of this is going away yet, but obviously 3 points is the priority.
It's difficult for us to know his preferred 11, because I don't think Michael Beale knows his preferred 11. Six changes for the game at Perth at the weekend there. A lot of the guys who had been away in international duty were replaced in the team. Be fascinated to see what he does on Thursday night against Betis. You know, the likes of Suter, Barisic, Jack, do they come back into the team? Who takes Danilo's place up top? Is it Dessers, as Andy said? Could he go with a front three of Matondo, Roof and Sima? Is that far too attacking for a European game against La Liga opponents? So it's fascinating to see. But that week, Gordon, the week of PSV and Celtic, was so damaging for Rangers and so damaging for Michael Beale. It's going to take a lot more than a 2-0 win at Perth to recover the lost ground.
Is that just the reality, Andy, that you can't fix it in one week anyway? So no. you do what you can. I'm going to break my own rule here, because I hate the managerial cliche about one game at a time. But in terms of sort of clawing back the goodwill, is it about all you can do, really?
Yeah, listen, it's certainly not done enough to silence the doubters, but I think more importantly, you didn't want to loud in them with any poor performance or any more drop points. So I think, listen, it's going to take time off the back of what was probably Michael Beale's biggest week in charge when it went away to PSV for qualification to the Champions League group season, and obviously the first Old Firm game of the season. So listen, it wasn't an electrifying performance, but it was what was needed with 3 points.
You're looking forward to Europe this week, James. Can you, you know, is there any fear there because Rangers haven't been in a brilliant place, or do you think they can?
No, I don't think they've got anything to lose, really, to be honest. Yeah, I'm quite confident.
Yeah, where does the expectation fall there?
I'll take a draw. Definitely.
I think the expectation of Rangers fans, off the back of going all the way to Seville 2 years ago, the minimum expectation will be to get through the group. So a bit like I said with Celtic going to Feyenoord earlier on the show, Thursday night doesn't define what Rangers do in the group. Rangers need to get enough points to get through. Betis will be the most difficult opponent for Rangers, and if Rangers are going to accumulate enough points to get through, they probably need to do so against Aris Limassol and Sparta Prague, because I tend to agree that a draw might not be a disaster for Rangers come Thursday night, because Betis, I know they lost 5-0 at Barcelona at the weekend, but they're a decent team.
And look, we'll get to obviously an in-depth preview of that game a bit later in the week, having to wait until Thursday. It's not only the phones, you can get in touch, obviously Twitter as well, so I've got a couple on here. I touch wood, and maybe I'm getting ahead of ourselves. Every Monday night, I don't think we've had anywhere near the same sort of Monday night referee drama from the weekend.
No, not at all. No, it's only him.
He hates the refs. But apart from that, you know, it's been a bit quieter. However, there have been a couple of tweets come in, people wanting your thoughts. So David Gibson has sent me a screenshot of the Rangers offside goal from the weekend.
Yeah.
And saying, is anyone commenting on the shambolic decision to give offside for this? You got any thoughts?
Well, I think that's probably the, in my opinion, the most positive aspect of VAR is the line of fact, as I like to call it, when it comes to offside decisions. And you know, although you see the replays and the camera angle isn't quite what you're after, but you know, that's what the technology's for to work out.
It was the same attacking phase of play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Arsenal disallowed goal yesterday then at Everton?
That's different though, wasn't it? Because that was a debate about active, you know, what's the word, deliberate play and all that
deliberate
sort of stuff,
play,
wasn't it?
Yeah, Beto gets a touch on the ball.
This is a bit more of a straightforward, is he offside or is he not? But I think the point David's making, and it's, I'll be honest, right, full disclosure here, I was at Perth at the weekend, and I was working alongside Chris Boyd, and we were both.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant you were on the bus.
And we were both looking at that, as like everybody did, and going, oh, well, that looks onside.
Yeah,
that,
tight.
Probably
it did
be given.
Look tight.
There were sort of fans shouting over, is that going to be given? I think, yeah, probably looks onside. So I feel the same as David, but I think, well, see, for these ones, Roger, do not need to take your headspace somewhere else. Whether I think it looked offside, or whether David thinks it looks onside, or whether you or Andy thinks onside, is entirely irrelevant. It doesn't.
Yeah.
The Hawkeye driven bit of the technology is there so that you don't have to judge it off a picture. I know that's the bit that people see, but even in the biggest league and all that, I was disappointed to hear. And that was it the Arsenal game, banging on about, you know, or the angle of the camera. That's the point. The technology, that's the bit that you pay for, so that the technology is meant to be able to tell if it's offside or not, regardless of what angle the camera shows you.
And by the way, how unlucky is Kamar Roof? You know, he's onside, but he loses that goal. And the Old Firm game, he scores, and it's Dessers' foul that the goal gets chalked off for. They lose one earlier on as well. Was it Ross County? I know he scored at Ross County. One chalked off, I can't quite remember. I think he had another one chalked off this season, certainly. Either. I mean, he's so unfortunate. He could have had half a dozen goals almost this season.
Look, it's just a personal thing, because it's worth repeating. I thought at the time that looked onside as well, but it's just not
trust.
The point,
you
is it?
Listen, we put our trust in the officials, in the VAR truck, that the technology works and that the technology is correct.
But to be fair, that's the point, though. To pick you up, to be pedantic, there you're not really putting your trust in the officials. You're putting your trust in the technology.
In the tech, yeah.
Up to a point, I know you can nitpick that phrase a little bit, I suppose. But and the other one, someone tweeted as well. Just whilst we're on a roll, Graham says, "Can you talk about how Celtic?" Craig D says, please clear this up, regards the Rangers offside. When the two lines are touching, is that not deemed as onside? But again, that's the point. It might look like they're touching in the image, but they won't be, because the Hawkeye bit, then they find the point, the last point, the furthest forward point of the attacker and the last point of the defender. You plot where that is, and then it tells you if that gap is there.
Yeah.
They don't zoom in, and then the VAR doesn't go, are those lines, you know, it kind of does a bit of it for you, not at all. But like I say, that image that goes to the broadcaster, if you think that they're touching, they're not, basically. Yeah. I think is kind of what you have to, you just have to accept. I know it's not easy. I did it myself, like I said, at the weekend. So
I tell you what, Tony Docherty was more begrudged by the officials than me and Roger have been.
There you are, because Graham says, can you talk about how Celtic were awarded that penalty? It was the exact same situation with Dessers when he was penalised for the defender kicking his foot. The Dundee player was penalised for kicking Turnbull's foot. How, Roger?
Actually, Tony Docherty, when he got spoke to him after the game, and he wasn't at that stage particularly aggrieved. I think he thought young Ryan Howley had been a little bit naive in attempting to win the ball at that area. The position of the ball is a bit of a red herring. It's outside the box when the challenge is made, but the challenge by Howley on Turnbull is on the line. On the line for the purposes of penalty kicks is inside the box. The referee, Grant Irvin, I thought was very well positioned, but has just judged it to be a free kick. And the VAR, Stephen Kirtland, has intervened to say It's a penalty kick. And I think they've probably, I think the tech has probably got it right.
To be honest, I think it's a penalty as well. I think you've been in both situations, an attacker and a defender. And I think if you're a defender going in at that pace to try and nick a ball, and if you don't win it, I think you've fully got to expect a foul against you. I actually brought up the scenario, you know, you just mentioned it, with, you know, if Dessers goes down under the contact for Lager Bielka, do Rangers then get a free kick? Who knows?
I've always had this thing where you can think what you like about incidents. I do think we sometimes get ourselves in a bit of a tangle though, when we sometimes compare two things we make out that they're identical when they're not. So I am making no judgment on whether Dessers was right and Turnbull is wrong, or vice versa.
I think Turnbull was more clean cut.
But on this occasion, Turnbull has his foot planted and he's about to get to the ball. And I think the perception of the last one from the referees, presumably, was that Lager Bielka was in control of the ball. I will repeat for the umpteenth time, you don't have to agree with that, but I'm not sure they're the exact same incident.
They're not.
Whatever you think of them, I don't know if they're the exact same, are they?
Tony Docherty actually mentions the word cute, and I think that's exactly what David Turnbull is, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's something you're sort of taught to be a bit cute when you're growing up, especially as an attacker, 100%. If you can use your body in certain scenarios to buy free kicks or buy fouls, and I think that's exactly
what
he's done.
Is that the bit that kind of sways it for you, is because Turnbull gets there first and puts that foot down, plants it, and then you get the contact.
I think
after,
so, and he almost sort of anticipates the contact. And like I said, you know, I've been there as a defender, and if you think you've got a chance to go and win a ball and you go in at a certain speed and you don't win it and you make contact with an opposition, you're fully expecting a foul to go against you.
And just maybe a small point, maybe it is a semantics to some people, but on that occasion, Roger, so the free kick's been given. So actually VAR's only checking to see whether it's inside the box or not. It's a factual decision at that point. It's not actually been asked to necessarily rule on the award of the offence. That makes sense. Just about where it is.
Yeah. But had Grant Irvine, for reasons known only to him, had he waved play on, then there would have been a VAR check for a penalty.
I don't think it would have been, if he gave it the initial penalty, I don't think it would have been a clear and obvious enough error for that to be overruled either.
Anyway, right, 01419511025, or Twitter, as those points came in via Twitter there. Good time to get in touch, and we'll get a full-time teaser for these two next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna make a rod for their own back. They're too smart for their own good when it comes to Beat the Pundit and the full-time teaser, so it means we have to dig out the difficult questions for them on a Monday. And that's exactly what Dylan Patton has done for us. I love this question. I really, really do. Let's get it up and running.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Tackle your customers' spaces with made-to-measure wardrobes.
Can you name 9 Scots who've made over 100 appearances in the English Premier League but have fewer than 10 caps for Scotland?
Wow.
Can you name them? 9 Scots who've made over 100 appearances in the English Premier League but have fewer than 10 caps for Scotland.
Oh, cracker.
Oh, what a question.
Lead the way, end it.
Gary Naismith.
No. I reckon he'll have more than 10 caps.
What about Paul Telfer?
Honestly, Roger, he goes straight in with the best one in terms of disparity between appearances and caps. 319 English Premier League appearances, 1 cap. Well done.
How many, sorry, 9?
9?
And this is going to sound daft. They all have caps. There's none of them uncapped.
There is one that's uncapped. I'll give you that. But only one.
Leeds centre half. Oh.
Do you mean Dominic Mateo?
Dominic Mateo.
6 caps, 276 English Premier League appearances. Well, I'm liking your work, gentlemen. Well, quick, Roger, one more.
Ooh.
There's always a goalie in there. Always a goalie.
And the crazy thing about this, I think there's only one that I would consider obvious.
And this is English Premier League since 92, 93.
Yeah, will be. Yeah, assume so.
Scott Arfield doesn't count, does he?
No.
Oh, what about his teammate? George Boyd.
101 English Premier League appearances, beautiful. Two caps. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll see if the guys can get the answers between now and the end of the show. Thanks again to Dylan for sending that. It's a wonderfully constructed question. It's really good, I must admit. Right, let's hear from John, who's a Rangers fan on the line. How are you, John?
Hi, good evening, guys.
Hey, John.
What are you thinking then? Hi. Is it about the weekend? Is it about Europe? Is it a bit of both?
No, I was saying that to your producer there. I don't know what one of your guys says that they'd be happy with a draw for the European tie on Thursday.
I think it was a caller, actually. I think it was a caller, yeah. Is it, you? I detect you're about to disagree with that, no?
I would be looking, and I would probably, if I was a gambling man, I would think most of the Rangers fans in the stadium would be looking for a must-win to get the points. More so with the chat that's going on that Real Betis has got plenty of injuries and selling one of our best players to Saudi Arabia. So I would be looking personally for a must win, and I think that's what I'd be looking for.
Yeah, I know, but what does that mean, right? That phrase, I think when people say it, they mention it because, as in, if you don't win, like Michael Beale's in bother or whatever. When you say must win, do you just mean for the chances of progressing in the group, or do you mean the manager needs to win it?
No, I think for just like share this chat about Michael Beale's a couple of games away from getting the sack. Personally, we've got a whole new team here. I think we need to be patient. As a Rangers supporter, I want us to win trophies, I want us to win the league, but see, to be honest with you, we need to stick with Beale, the players that's come in. We need to be patient, we need to work round it to try and have that success rather than all this negativity. And I know it happens in football, you know, managers get 3-4 games and they get bumped, just what happened to Billy Dodds. I think he just signed a new contract and yep. 3-4 games in and he's been sacked. I know that's the nature of football and that's just the way it goes, but for me, I would rather see Beale here. I would rather see his progress and hopefully getting better, because it's not been the greatest. But for me, it's the 3 points in progressing with the Europa League on Thursday night, personally.
But listen, I think this will be a difficult game for Rangers. If it was either of the other two teams in the group, Aris Limassol or Sparta Prague, I would probably agree with John and say it probably is must-win for Rangers. I know Betis have injury problems, they're down to a third-choice goalkeeper, they have let players go, but they've still got a star-studded squad. You know, they've got the likes of Isco, they've got Borja Iglesias, who's a Spanish international centre-forward, Ayuze Perez, who was at Leicester, Mark Roca, who was at Leeds last season. So they have quality through the team. There's no question about that. Hector Bellerin, who was the Arsenal right back for years. They will pose a danger to Rangers. I don't think at the minute this is the most crucial game for Michael Beale. In fact, of the next four games, and John will know, the next four games for Rangers are all at Ibrox. Of the next four games, I think this is actually the least important for Michael Beale, his future and his job prospects.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, I think maybe my guess would be the reason, because John sounds very patient and understanding, which is fine, but not all Rangers fans are. And I suspect part of the reason would be that although it is, there are elements of a new team that John mentions, we are now getting down the line a little bit. It was Michael Beale, he referenced it at the weekend. He said 9 games, so it's presumably 10 now. And I think he said, what was it, 4? He referenced the number of training sessions they had, I think.
Was it 46?
40 something. And then also, out of the 10 outfield players on Saturday, 2 were new signings. Mm. Is that maybe why some fans aren't quite as patient?
Yeah, potentially. And I agree with what Roger said. I said it last week that I still don't believe he knows his best 11. Again, that 11 we've seen at the weekend, Rangers have still not played the same 11 in consecutive games. In fact, it's been a different 11 every single game this season. So it'd be interesting to see how many changes there are again going into Thursday. I agree in terms that I don't see it as a must win, but I think there's certainly pressure there for Rangers to get through in the group. I was actually surprised at the amount of callers we had at the sort of start of the season that says Rangers, some Rangers fans didn't want to qualify for the Champions League group stage because they wanted a more priority in terms of going on another Europa League run. So I think the pressure's certainly there to go in and qualify. Betis are clearly obviously the probably the toughest opponents in the group. I actually watched the game against Barcelona at the weekend, and at 0-0 Real Betis had two or three great chances to go 1-0 up, but no, clearly it's going to be a difficult task. But I fully expect Rangers to go and win the game, to be honest. I think they'll need to improve in the performances that they have done, but they've showed in Europe they're certainly capable of that.
Did you get positives from the weekend, John, that you think are at least a kind of platform to build on?
I don't really think you can judge, no disrespect to St Johnstone, I don't think you can judge that game at all. Again, 3 points, it's great, but performance might have not been what we're all looking for. But as the your guy says there, we don't know, he doesn't really know what he's playing. I think there's just so much inconsistency going on within the team that that's the reasons why. And he's got all these strikers, so he's a bit of a pick and mix who he's actually wanting to play. But look, it's a must win. Me personally, as I said earlier on, it's a must win for the guys in Thursday at Ibrox, where they're 50,000 behind us. You know, like the atmosphere is in Europe at Ibrox at the best of times. So that hopefully can spur us on, and we can see a few guys that's not maybe shown what they're capable of doing and do it on Thursday night. And kickstart on for there.
Yeah, because look, I no doubt we're about to embark on European football season for our clubs, and at some point somebody will phone in and say, "Ah, what can our clubs do? I mean, look at the budget. What are they supposed to do? Look at the budget disparities out there." Well, if that's the case, St Johnstone should not even come close to laying a glove on Rangers. They shouldn't, if we're going to use that logic. But at the same time, I saw people observing on Saturday that St Johnstone do really look like they're struggling, not just that Rangers game, obviously, but I know it's all about the Glasgow's big two at times in this show. Are you already very fearful for St Johnstone?
They were my tip to get down, and I haven't done anything to dissuade me from that notion. I listened to the show, as I said, from Celtic Park on Saturday. Hugh Keevans was especially disparaging about the form, and I think the word ability was used again, of the St Johnstone players going forward. I mentioned I've seen...
The goalie's good.
The goalie's very good. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the likes... I saw Dundee on Saturday at Celtic Park. I've seen Ross County at Celtic Park as well. They look better than St Johnstone, I have to say. Livingston are doing that thing of picking up points again. So St Johnstone very quickly, I think, need to rally and make sure that they stay in touch with those above them. Difficult game on Saturday. They go to Hibs, Nick Montgomery's first game at Easter Road. That's not going to be easy for St Johnstone either. Stephen McLean's got a lot of new players in. I think he needs to gel them quickly.
Okay, let's do an impromptu section on strugglers then, because you might have tipped St Johnstone to go down and you're very happy with your predictor skills. Did you have Aberdeen to be joint bottom at this stage with no wins yet?
Well, Andy will be nodding in a second. I didn't have Aberdeen to be bottom with no wins yet, and I think it's going to get worse for Aberdeen before it gets better, is my prediction, because they're about to enter into, I think it's, is it 7 games in 22 days? They get a little respite at international break in October, and then they have a similar run after that. They're playing Thursday, Sunday, the way Andy and Hearts did in their Conference League group last season. It puts an enormous burden on the players physically and mentally, and away to Frankfurt, you wouldn't fancy that as your opening fixture. You then come back, you've got a home and away with Ross County, away in a Viaplay Cup quarter final in Dingwall next Wednesday night, and then you go to Ibrox at the weekend. It's really a big ask for Barry Robson, and always a new look squad that's struggling to gel together.
Just careful what you say around this guy, because I can just see the headline tomorrow morning: Crocked Hearts star slaughters Aberdeen performance at Tynecastle. But they did get a bit of stick for it. And what did you observe? You're going to have to put this diplomatically, I suspect.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think it's been too outlandish to say I was surprised even the level of performance. And you know, a lot was spoke about their style of play, which is probably the thing that shocked me the most. I think Kelly Roos took about 85 free kicks in Aberdeen's own half, so I was surprised at that, especially when clearly their main two threats are Miowski and Duke. I thought we done really well to contain them. I thought they were pretty quiet in the game. But listen, like we've said, or like I've said, when it came to comes to Rangers and Celtic and ourselves and other teams is, you know, they've got a lot of new players, especially in certain areas of the pitch. I think, you know, the three centre-halves that played at Tynecastle at the weekend are all new. Left wing-backs new. They're trying to integrate certain new players in the team. So it is going to take time, but I don't think they've got that much time when you're on such a run of results. And then to sort of go on top of that, I don't think your next game you want to be Frankfurt away, that's for sure.
And Duke isn't playing well. Don't think he's got a goal yet this season, has he? I think they're only win in the last 7 or 8 games away at Stirling Albion that Friday night. Listen, I think Aberdeen are in for a really, really difficult run between now and the next international break.
I think they've got enough quality in the team though to turn it round. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, Barry Robson got a lot of credit towards their performances and obviously results towards the end of last season, and rightfully so. And I do think they've got a lot of quality in there. But I think at the back especially, I think you see how desperate they were to get Liam Scales in before the deadline. You know, the boy Reece Williams has came up on loan for Liverpool. I don't think he's played a minute yet. So I think at the back is an area where they'll be looking to improve.
Right, 01419511025. Still more to come looking back in the weekend. What about you, Motherwell and St Mirren fans? That was a great fixture, that, a local one for us. St Mirren leapfrogging Motherwell into second place, a wonderful start to the season. Motherwell fans, I think, pretty pleased with the performance all round despite the defeat. So if you've any thoughts on that one, that might be a nice game for us to move on to. Or you can keep going with European stuff for whatever it is that tickles your fancy. Get your calls in, please. Milo has sent me some tweets. He's given it a go, this full-time teaser. Can you name 9 Scots who've made more than 100 English Premier League appearances but have fewer than 10 Scotland caps? An incredible question, that. So Paul Telfer, Dominic Matteo and George Boyd.
Tom Kearney.
No, apparently.
Ooh.
I wonder why. You can see the question on screen on the live stream, by the way, and it's out there on Twitter as well if you want to.
Should we go guess?
To take part.
What about Phil Bardsley?
Let me just launch my own Stewards Inquiry very quickly, just in case it. I wonder why. Maybe not quite get the appearances. Tom Kearney.
Wow, surprised at that.
Because he's only got 2 Scotland caps. Yeah, I must admit, I'll do a wee Stewards Inquiry for you on there, but anyway.
Phil Bardsley?
No.
Wow. I had him down as well. Almost don't want to say his name after that infamous miss, but Chris Iwuemo?
No.
He would have 100 Premier League appearances, I don't think.
What about John Flegg?
No.
Graham Dorans?
No.
Chris Martin?
No.
There's a lot.
Right, I'll here. Tell you why, just quickly. I'm going to just reset your thinking a little bit.
Yeah.
These are all from this kind of certain era. They're all a bit earlier now.
All right, okay.
I would say George Boyd will be about the most recent one.
Roger, I'm it's a bit harder you for you
now, Andy, I must say.
Did you see there's one uncapped one?
Yes.
Not Alec Cleland, is it?
No. Ooh. Let's just say I thought you had him.
But still,
Alec Ray.
It's our old pal, Alex Ray. 102 English Premier League appearances, never capped.
Still Premier League though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Premier League is.
What about the one that said there is one that I don't know how this is going to help you. There is one obvious one. As in, this guy had a really prominent English Premier League career.
Mm-hmm.
And
just didn't win many caps.
But maybe not. Maybe your failure to win caps is not always purely about ability.
Oh, no. I was going to say Aidan McGeady, but...
No.
I thought that was the tangent you were going on.
No.
Come on again.
So I'm just saying, like, mate, there are other reasons that you might not win. It's not just because you weren't good enough to represent Scotland more than
you
10
times.
You
may have
times.
Deemed you didn't want to go and play for Scotland.
No, maybe just kind of, you know, fallouts, disciplinary issues.
Oh. No. Alan McGregor's got to have more than 10 caps.
No. Of course he's got more than 10 caps.
Oh, I'm trying to go off your clue.
Duncan Ferguson.
Oh, come on, that's poor, really, isn't it? That's the most obvious one, arguably, no?
That's what I'm saying.
Nah, it's poor.
Only 7 caps. Right, okay, you've got a few more to get, and we will get them next.
Number 1 for football in Glasgow and the West.
0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight with Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah. They've got work to do in this teaser, and it's a great question. This is the exact type of question that Andy Halliday is going to take into the Hearts dressing room tomorrow, that Roger Hannah is going to take into the Scottish Sun office, so that people across the country will be copying and pasting onto group chats as we speak. Yep. Nine Scots who've made over 100 appearances in the English Premier League but have fewer than 10 caps for Scotland. Paul Telfer, Dominic Mateo, Duncan Ferguson, Alex Ray and George Boyd. Four to get.
What about David Speedy?
Mm-mm.
Nope. David Murphy.
No. That, just see the way you said that, it just sounded like you had just made up a name.
No, is that the Hibs in Birmingham?
Yeah, I know who you mean. He's not Scottish though,
no.
Is he?
I don't know, well, there you go. No one of these things.
Probably too early for the Premier League. Kevin McDonald, Liverpool.
No.
Oh no, I thought you meant Kevin McDonald at Fulham Burnley.
Nah, ignore him as well.
I was trying to think some of the ones that were there at the time. Bradford, Gary Locke didn't get 100 games today for Bradford.
No.
Tell you what, who
Kevin
done the
Kyle
question?
Dylan Patton sent the question in.
Dylan's got us this week, hasn't he?
Well, that's a good one. Absolute belter.
Cracker, aye.
I can't believe, right, you've spent 1 week with him and you've channeled your inner Gordon DL. No one should ever hear that phrase, right? But it has happened here, because he's got a little catchphrase he always uses, and you're on it. There is a goalie, right? I'll give you that much. There is a goalie. This goalkeeper has an added significance to the Scotland national team above and beyond just his Scotland career. There's my cryptic clue for you on that one. All right. Anyway, you want to talk about St Mirren and Motherwell over the weekend? Second and third, respectively,
yeah,
in the Scottish Premiership at the moment. Stephen Robinson's just got this league sus, doesn't he?
Listen, I think St Mirren fans that I know were thrilled to finish in the top six last season. And I think there was a bit of scepticism as to whether they could do it again, because it had been so long. Was it the best league finish since 1985 or 86 or something, Gordon? But they've actually kicked on. They actually look stronger. Andy's Hearts go there to Paisley on Saturday. There will not be an easy game for Andy's Hearts team. And fair play to Stephen Robinson. He did a lot of the groundwork at Motherwell. And he's taken a few of the players with him to Paisley. And they've been absolutely terrific. You cannot argue with the way they play. And a lot of St Mirren fans very excited, and a lot of Motherwell fans like yourself excited as well. They did lose. They played very well again. Slattery, Spittle, they're playing some terrific football at the minute under Stuart Kettlewell. First defeat in the league since April, was that correct? I think we could go unbeaten for another 5 months. I think you'd take that.
Slattery and Spittle's combination in Motherwell's midfield is exciting, Andy, but obviously the priority here is who wins the game. St Mirren were the team that came away with 3 points, and that's a brilliant start to the season for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it was some Jogger Benito stuff I've seen from Slattery and Blair Spittle, and sort of follows up of that worthy winner I gave goal of the week begrudgingly the week before when they scored against Hearts at Tynecastle. But listen, Stuart Kettlewell said it, and I think as a manager that can be as positive as you can possibly be after a defeat, because I think he sees the what they've been working on since he got the job in February. I think he's seen it in fruition in the second half. Some of the football they played was outstanding. But one thing I will say about Stephen Robinson St Mirren is I just don't see them conceding that many goals this season. I think that's the way it is. I think they're shape out of possession. I think they're so compact, they're so tight. I think they've made signings in good areas where they're going to go and hurt teams in the other way. And spoke about him at the top of the show. I think Ryan Strain, I think he's right up there with the most creative player in the league. I'm going to say that now, because I think any time I've watched St Mirren, I'm saying 3-4 chances he's creating a game easily. And to touch on what Roger talked about at the start of the show, I think there's so much influence and sort of encouragement for him and Tanza to join the attack and get forward and try and be that creative spark that St Mirren need, and I think they've done that.
This show just amazes you at times, right? Right on cue. Think about the match that we're talking about. And what if I told you that a former Motherwell captain but current St Mirren COO had sent in a message with an answer to the teaser? I mean, that is just incredible. You just don't get that anywhere else.
Absolutely.
That's the
terrific
power and the reach.
Just text me with it, lads.
And it's the one I gave the clue about the goalie.
Yeah, Brian Gunn.
Angus's feather. Well done. Anyway, in terms of our quick whistle stop tour around the other talking points from the weekend, then St Mirren, Motherwell, St Mirren was a good one. Great result, St Mirren. Good performance, Motherwell. So maybe no one's really overly disappointed there. What were the balance between, like, you know, delight at the start but frustration at the end for Nick Montgomery being his first game in
Nick
charge
Montgomery
of Hibs
and his new green jumper?
I noticed that. It's a Hibs edition, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely seems to be. Nick Montgomery will have learned more from the period of the game when Hibernian conceded the two goals than he would have done early on. You know, Hibs can score goals. They've got Ewan one side, Boyle on the other, Doidge and Venta up front. That's fine, they'll score goals. But the way I'm not going to say folded. Folded's too spectacular a word. But the way they wobbled after conceding that first goal will give Nick Montgomery an insight into what has been the main problem at Hibs for a long time now. You can get at Hibs and they can't stop you from getting at them. He will want a good home win, a good home win against bottom of the table St Johnstone on his first home game come the weekend, because it's not too long till they go to Tynecastle, and you know what that means.
Well, listen, I don't know what the record is for the quickest goal in Scottish football, but Nick Montgomery nearly got it in his first 5 seconds, it felt That's like, right, because yeah. I mean, Martin Boyle's chance for Kilmarnock's kickoff incredibly as well, and I think Roger's got it spot on. I don't think Hibs issues have ever been going forward and attacking and scoring goals. I think defensively they've been a bit frail. But again, I think it is going to be a case that he's going to take plenty of positives from the game. He's went to a ground and a team that's, I think, are going to win a lot of points at home this season. I think they're going to be a difficult venue for anyone. I think Rangers and Celtic will tell you that. So that, for me, I think they took a point before the game, especially how the sort of form results have went so far. Obviously, going 2-0 up, you'll be incredibly disappointed not to see it through. And then Robbie Deas obviously has the chance at the end to win it for Kilmarnock as well.
It's a centre-half's finish, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
What did they say? Nosebleed territory, I think. But yeah, I think that pretty much rounds us up. There was a largely uneventful afternoon between Ross County and Livingston.
Well, it's not uneventful if you're a Livingston bus driver.
Well, no, that was certainly eventful. They barely got there in time. Well, they didn't get there in time. Yeah, I don't know if that was a classic, was it?
I'm not sure if it was a classic. I think Malky Mackay will view it as points dropped. David Martindale will probably quite gladly take the point that he got up there, having fallen behind in the game. And Livingston are just doing what Livingston do. They're picking up points against the St Mirrens, against the Ross Counties. They'll be fine. Ross County, Pittodrie on Sunday, I think already Malky Mackay will have one eye on that League Cup quarter final at home to Aberdeen next Monday.
Okay, let's round off this teaser. And thanks to the good folks at Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride, for helping us out with this as well. 9 Scots, more than 100 appearances in the English Premier League, but fewer than 10 caps for Scotland. Paul Telford, Dominic Matteo, Duncan Ferguson, Brian Gunn, Alex Ray and George Boyd. Keith Lasley, quit while you're ahead, because he sent me another one and it's wrong. It was Scott Gemmell, if it helps you.
Oh, he's got a few caps. Paul Devlin?
Nope.
I'm toiling, I'll be honest.
One of them might have fewer than 10 caps, but again has a hugely significant link to the Scotland national team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but Steve Clark.
Steve Clark.
Oh,
Clark.
Wow.
There we go. The last two. Okay, I don't know. Is it just proper clue time over in that territory?
For me, anyway.
Okay.
My pal, she's texting me. I don't think it's right. Barry Bannon.
It's not right.
He's even played the Premier League.
Exactly.
Tell your pal, honestly, seriously. Come on, step up to
the
plate.
Is that Hugh that texts you?
It's his birthday as well today.
Happy birthday.
55 today, Simon. Happy birthday.
Well done, Simon. Apart from that answer.
Back to the cake.
I'm thinking Crystal Palace.
Toogie Friedman.
No. This guy would be linked with Crystal Palace. Bradford. Leeds would be the main one probably for the Premier League. Crystal Palace and Leeds. Managed Livingston.
David Hopkins.
David Hopkins.
And the last one, this season, 114 English Premier League appearances, 5 caps. I think Portsmouth is the club you're looking for.
Oh,
one of the, I mean,
oh,
with no disrespect to
black
them.
Long hair.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just about do it.
Oh, this is going to annoy me.
Like an episode of Guess Who with Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I teed you up with Dominic Matteo. Long black hair. You should wear the headband.
That's pretty much it. There's not much more to add. He must have played for someone else, but it's definitely Portsmouth that sticks out. No.
I'm still not getting this.
No. It gets to this point, Hugh Keevans just always looks at me and says, initials? Yeah, are we at that stage?
I know. Will that help you? Tip my tongue.
Well, initials.
Richard Hughes.
Richard Hughes.
Well done, Andy Halliday. Richard Hughes. There we go. What a week we have in store. It all starts tomorrow. Champions League football, group stages. There's a Scottish team in it. We're looking forward to it. Final against Celtic. And even after that, the madness will continue. Rangers and Aberdeen later in the week as well. So you're not going to want to miss a beat this week. Join us from 6 tomorrow with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Of course, you can watch the show back on YouTube. You can get your podcasts as normal wherever you get your podcasts. So please do, and please subscribe to the YouTube page as well. And Callum Gallagher is up next. He's giving tickets away to see Jason Derulo. So Hugh Keevans, if you're listening, I know that'll be right up your street. So give him a call and see if you can get involved. But we're back at 6 tomorrow.